any society is how it treats its women and girls. The smart, powerful, creative, accomplished young women.
We can fight.
I'm here because of you. I'm here because girls like you inspire me. Many of these girls have faced unthinkable obstacles just to attend school. Any society is how it treats its women and girls.
Won't stand still.
Your story is my story. Your story is my story.
Clutch your pearls and hide your children. It's another episode of Surly Voices here on WMNF Tampa 88.5. My name is Liz. I'm one of your hosts. My co-host, Donna, is sitting right across from me. And if I can figure out the login for the Zoom, we'll get Amina on here, too.
Yeah.
So we're going to cover a range of topics today. But first up, we have a guest. Donna, who is our guest?
Our guest today is Nicholas Suarez. And Nicholas Suarez is a advocate. He started out in SWAT, students working against tobacco, and he's been fighting against big tobacco through his middle school years. In 2017, for his tobacco control advocacy in Florida, Nicholas was recognized as CTFK's South Region Youth Advocate of the Year. He went to Boston College and then continued his career as a field organizer and field director for a number of statewide and local political campaigns. Currently, Nicholas is the Program Associate of Youth Advocacy for the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. Good morning, Nicholas.
Thanks, Donna, for that. And I also, we have with us Natasha Counts, the youth, who will be joining me to speak a little bit more on the issue today.
Okay, and Natasha Counts is also with us. She's a senior at Mainland High School. She joined Students Working Against Tobacco after losing her grandmother to cancer. Coming from a lower-income area, almost every person in her adult life smokes. I've always wanted to change the world for the better, but I just never knew how. Being in SWAT has helped me realize I want to create a tobacco-free future. This year, I am serving as SWAT's Youth Advocacy Board Chair. Thanks to the amazing adults who have supported me in my passion for the cause, I fell in love with SWAT and wouldn't trade these last 6 years for anything. Good morning, Natasha and Nicholas.
Morning. Thanks for having us.
Oh, she's in the room with you. She's not on a separate line.
They're right here.
Okay, awesome.
They're right there together.
I haven't had enough coffee yet.
Okay, so I'd like to talk a little bit with Natasha about the work that you've done. Tell us about your work with tobacco prevention. As a high school student, what's your experience with tobacco use?
So, similar to Nicholas, I've actually been in SWAT since I was a middle schooler. And, you know, in your middle school days, it's really simple. Like, you know, you do the tables, you start your own journey in advocacy, you start to learn yourself, you start to equip yourself with the tools and understanding you need. And then once you get into high school, especially once you get on these advocacy boards, it's an entirely different ballgame. Like, I just feel like the work we do is a lot more state level, and I end up working on a lot of different things like this, for example. And I get to really branch out, which is great for me, but it also lets me see different perspectives from different people and also gather all this knowledge. And I just really love being able to speak to different people. I do a lot of speaking, and my work, since a lot of the time when they ask youth for things, it's a lot of youth perspective, because when we focus on youth prevention, we have to understand where the youth are coming from. So a lot of my experience is getting to be that voice for my fellow youth in my generation.
Okay. Tell us about the environment that you're in. How are your friends, are your classmates, are they vaping, smoking, cigarettes? What is that like?
The majority of my friends personally don't, but I will say it is a big issue within my school. smoking isn't really much of a thing. It's more vaping. Like
vaping,
really
yeah.
Yes, 100% vaping. Every school, every kid has a different device, and you never know, like, what each device is because each kid has their preference, but it's all flavored and it's all vaping, and it's also easy to hide because you never, there's so many different types.
Do most of the people that you know, adult or student, that vape, do they prefer the flavored tobacco oils?
Students, 100%. Like, my classmates prefer the, like, they hate the taste of cigarettes. They only prefer the flavored vapes. My parents and my older sisters and stuff like that, like, no. They're like, I don't like the flavored stuff. They tried it. They hate it. They stick to their cigarettes.
And when are they smoking menthol cigarettes or are they smoking non-menthol cigarettes?
My mother and my sister smoke menthol, but my dad actually quit a couple years back, so he doesn't smoke anymore.
Okay. And have you ever talked to them about the targeting in specific communities of the flavors for youth and the menthol in African-American communities?
My family can always see when I'm about to go on a tirade. Tasha, don't start with me. I know exactly what you're going to say. I don't want to hear it. I'm like, okay, but you know what I want to say.
What do you say to them? What do you say to them, Natasha, when you talk to them about it?
So I am mixed. I am biracial. My dad is the white parent, and my mom and my sister are both black. So, and we live in a pretty mixed neighborhood, but I mean, we do live in a more people of color area. Like, we live in a pretty black neighborhood.
Okay.
So all of our advertising is like targeted towards people of color, black and brown people.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I see anything, I'm like, okay, you see that? You see that person? You see that? You see how they're literally using people that they look like you, they look like grandma, look like your friends. But these products aren't meant to help you, and they know exactly what they're doing. So why would you let somebody take advantage of you, knowing like our history and our culture? Why would you let that step one more further take advantage of you when you could? This isn't something that you could solve. Right here today with you.
So, in particular, why do you think that youth prefer the flavored tobacco? I mean, isn't all tobacco bad? Why is flavored tobaccos worse?
So, it's weird when you, like, address it with your, like, your peers. Because, you like, we don't grow up hating cigarettes. Like, oh, cigarettes are gross. Our parents are gross. Adults are gross. But when it's flavored tobacco, they're like, oh, it's literally vapor. Like, it's aerosol. So I'm like, it's not air. Aerosol, it's not. It's like a coating. And I think that's where the disconnect is, like what it is and what they think it is. And the whole invincibility complex, like, it tastes good. I'm young. I'm going to live forever. So it's harder to address it.
Mm-hmm. And do people often say, well, there's no research. Like, it's not like with tobacco. We know that it causes lung cancer. We know that it drives your chances of having it up, like, by thousands of percent. If people say there isn't enough research on vaping to decisively say that this is going to result in some type of health crisis, what do you say to that?
I actually get that a lot more from, like, the adult perspective than these.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because, like, nobody ever really comes to me about my research if it's like another 16, 17-year-old. But as far as the adult, it doesn't, yes, it's unresearched and untested, but that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you haven't done the long-term research studies that cigarettes have, you can still look factually at what's in it, the products that are in it, and the reaction rate. Like, you don't need the research if you chemically can understand the process and predict what the outcome is going to be.
So with the flavors, I want to ask this question before you jump in, Nicholas. With the flavors, there's some wild flavors out there. Gummy Bear, Orange Crush, they're clearly targeting kids. Pineapple Dream.
I'm thinking it sounds pretty good for me, too.
It sounds pretty good. Orange Dream sounds... I like Pineapple Dream.
Yeah.
Right? It makes me think of rainbows and unicorns, right? And so... The FDA right now, last year, I know for a fact, talked a little bit about They said they had a rule, and they had a 90-day comment period on that they want to ban menthol and flavored tobaccos. And right now, a lot of constituents like yourself are talking to legislators, calling their legislators, visiting their legislators when they're in district, and saying, hey, we really need you to support this rule. And some of the conversation around that specifically, my research tells me, has been, hey, listen, the criminalization of people of color resulted in the death of Eric Garner, who was selling Lucy's or loose cigarettes, as they're called. And we don't want Ben Crump and Al Sharpton, Reverend Al Sharpton, and people of this ilk are on the other side of the fence saying, no, you just need another reason to criminalize Black lives, to take away things that are some of the only things people have to enjoy, whether you consider them to be vices or not. Let's live and let live. What do you guys say to that?
Yeah, no, Donna, I think that's it's important to recognize that, right? Mm-hmm. But when we talk about racial bias in policing, that is an urgent problem. And fixing that problem should and has to be a priority. And regulation of tobacco products is also needed to protect children from tobacco addiction, advance health equity, and save lives, especially among Black Americans. So we got to do both. But I want to make real clear that the FDA's plan to prohibit menthol cigarettes and flavored cigars is not targeting individuals or not making it illegal for individuals to possess or use menthol cigarettes. Rather, it is prohibiting manufacturers and retailers from selling these products, right? Mm-hmm. That is how FDA has enforced the current prohibition on other flavored cigarettes and the current prohibition on sales to minors. So there's no reason to expect that the FDA is going to enforce the prohibition any differently than how they've done in the past. And we know, you mentioned it, Donna, there have been pushback from certain groups and people. Well, we know that the tobacco industry is, you know, going all out in fighting this decision. They've mm-hmm. funded organizations and prominent spokespeople to try to leverage real concern about law enforcement abuse into opposition to prohibiting menthol cigarettes. And those connections were recently detailed in an investigation by the Los Angeles Times and the Bureau of Investigative Journalism, which showed the industry's funding of particular Black lobbyists and consultants, including, as you mentioned, Reverend Al Sharpton, Congressman Kendrick Meek, to oppose laws prohibiting menthol cigarettes and stoke fears about criminalization.
So you do know, you guys know, I'm sure you know, that in Florida we have preemption laws. Talk a little bit about what these regulations will look like in Florida as a consequence of preemption.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think when the FDA rules are passed, and they will take years. Again, these are proposed rules, and as right. you mentioned, Donna, there was a hearing period from May to August of last year. I think they had about 175,000 comments. You know, these laws, the proposed rules will be passed throughout the state of Florida to really prohibit the sale of menthol cigarettes and the sale of flavored cigars, and it is really important. Because menthol not only cools and numbs the throat and masks the harshness of tobacco smoke, but honestly, it's to protect kids. It's to protect the youth. Because half of all kids who ever tried smoking started with menthol cigarettes. And 41% of all current high school smokers use menthol cigarettes. So we're going to be seeing it applied to retailers, manufacturers throughout the state. But again, it is not going to be affecting the bottom line. Because as we know, when we prohibit or when we protect the consumer from these products, that is going to save money on healthcare costs. It's going to save money on what they would have usually spent on these products and put it into other costs at these manufacturers or retailers as well.
So this will not result in criminalization, not give police officers. I want to be clear about that because that's the hardest pushback that I'm getting from the African-American community. I don't think there's any conversation that says that smoking is not harmful to your health. And we have no reason to believe, we've seen things like popcorn lung, acute respiratory distress disorders that say that vaping is also harmful. And if it's causing acute conditions, it's equally as likely that it'll cause chronic conditions in the long term. I mean, you're supposed to breathe air into your lungs.
Right.
Right? It's a gas exchange mechanism.
I have a question, though. What kind of chemicals are used in these flavorings?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, we can get into the specifics of the chemicals. We can be here all day.
Right.
But I think what we want to focus on are when it comes to flavorings or e-cigarette products, yes, there's still research being done as to the actual impact that it has on the human body. Like you mentioned, Donna, we are supposed to be breathing air. Mm-hmm. But what we do know is that there is nicotine in these products, excuse me. And nicotine affects brain development. Right. You know, up to the age of 25. I'm 23 years old. Ooh. If I were to smoke a flavored tobacco product right now, that's going to mess with my head. That's going to mess with my brain development. And imagine me at 23. We see youth at the ages of 12, 13, 10 years smoking these products. And frankly, we've seen people who smoke flavored e-cigarettes eventually transition into more commercial tobacco cigarettes, right? And that has the carcinogens. So that really affects your lungs.
So I have a caller. David Bryant is calling in. Just texted us, and he said, I'm turning in late, but I always wondered, why are menthol cigarettes so popular in the black community? I don't know the history of that. One thing that always stands out in my mind is something I saw on the shelves of a convenience store in Sarasota about 30 years ago. They were selling a product called Cool Colt from the makers of Colt 45, shocker, which was menthol-flavored malt liquor.
Oh, wow. That's a double whammy.
I was not prepared to read that sentence.
Malt liquor is totally marketed to the black market.
I tried it and tasted awful, yucky, yucky, David. Do you want to speak on that?
Yeah. So, and it's a great question. Thank you, David. There is entrenched in the history of these tobacco industries and how they deliberately target minority communities, particularly the black community, with menthol products for more than 60 years now. Right. I think it was in the 1950s, less than 10% of black smokers used menthol cigarettes. And today that number is 85%.
Right.
And that's because they've targeted black Americans through magazine advertisements, sponsorship of community and music events, free samples of cigarettes. Donna, what you just mentioned, right? Retail promotions and other tactics. And we see this within the black community, particularly with menthol cigarettes. And it's not just the black community. I mean, I mentioned it before, minority communities as well. I myself am Latino. Right. Mm-hmm. And I've seen Newport back in the day. They'd advertise their cigarettes saying like fiesta, using the term fiesta, relájate, relax with us. Right. And showing people smoking and partying, Latinos partying. And they do that on purpose because they know that they're trying to grab that certain demographic to start using their product, hook them, and then they get their friends, family or loved ones hooked as well. So we've seen this in the black community when it comes to the menthol cigarettes. And we've seen it with, you know, commercial tobacco products specifically targeted to other populations as well.
Including the LGBTQ community.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't think about that.
I had no idea.
Right.
Tell me how that works.
absolutely. Look, and it goes back, we've seen these companies, these industries, sponsor for the LGBTQIA+ community events, you know, supporting Pride Parade, Pride Festival, while also telling them, hey, smoke our product, right? I know 51% of lesbian and gay and 46% of bisexual smokers use menthol cigarettes. And that's compared to 39% of heterosexual.
Well, menthol cigarettes just taste better. I mean, I'm going to be honest about
They do. We are not tobacco advocates.
No.
But we are former smokers. And I can tell you, anytime that I have gone to a gay club, and you're outside and you know, you're doing that social thing and you want to bum a cigarette off the people that are smoking outside, they're always menthol cigarettes. I did notice that, but I wasn't aware of the targeting aspect. I am aware that we've had a difficult time getting members of the Congressional Black Caucus to ride with us on this rule. And so in our last couple of minutes, I want to talk about three things. So maybe you guys can do this quickly. Why do we have members of the Congressional Black Caucus holding out on supporting the rule? There is an event coming up. It's, you guys want to tell me about that on March 31st, Take Down Tobacco Day, and where people can go to get more information and get involved. Those are the three things I need from you.
All right, I'll hop in, do rapid fire.
Okay. All right, let's go.
The first one, the CDC members. Yeah, I think it goes back to the concerns about criminalization and, frankly, the tobacco industry's funding of certain members to oppose these rules, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we talked about in these 20 minutes that the fears of criminalization are gaslighting. And, you know, this is something that we must do both address the racial police violence that we've seen in the Black community or against the Black community, but also protect our children and the Black community from the industry's targeting through these products. The second point, we do have an event coming up. It's called the Takedown Tobacco National Day of Action. It is scheduled for March 31st. This is where we're going to call out the big tobacco industry for the jokers that they really are. It is nationwide where we have coalitions, youth, clubs, organizations working all together to host events throughout the country to really push back against the big tobacco industry. And you can learn more and find out more information. We encourage you to register your event. We encourage you to learn or to read more. We have activity resources, social media toolkits on takedowntobacco.org.
That's the easy one. Takedowntobacco.org is where you go to keep up with this and to get more information. And if you're planning an event, whether you're a student or whether you're a parent or a grandparent, takedowntobacco.org is where you go to get information and get involved. Anything else that we didn't cover that you'd like to tell our audience, Natasha and Nicholas?
No, Natasha, I want to say thank you for sharing your personal story. And Donna, thank you for giving us this platform. Again, I think it's important to keep in mind the FDA's proposed rules, the importance of this issue, and really have people know how big tobacco industry has been targeting minorities in the Black community in particular. So thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. And
thank
we hope
you.
To have you on again ahead of or right around Takedown Tobacco Day. That'll be fun. Thank you, Nicholas. Thank you, Natasha. Thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye. So, lots of information. We're going to have to find out what's in them, the flavorings.
I think that if, when they come back, we'll make them tell us what's in there. We have another text from Lahavine. Says, I don't know if this is off topic. I am curious about your thoughts on cannabis. It appears that the laws about what levels are acceptable for consumption vary from state to state. Do you think it is safe and or healthy? Liz is a nurse. Go.
All right. Yeah. Cannabis, actually.
I see you.
Cannabis is, and we actually did a show on cannabis a few years ago. Cannabis, is it safe and healthy? Nobody's ever died from an OD of cannabis, number one. So that tells me it's a lot safer than alcohol or other drugs.
Absolutely.
And I am not well versed on the edible versus smoking safety. I imagine because you're inhaling smoke, that is less safe than consuming it by mouth. So, yes, cannabis is safe. It has many medicinal uses. There are, in the past couple of years, legalized cannabis for medicinal purposes. Was put into place in Florida, and now people, you know, have their cards.
So I think there's no denying that it has medicinal use, right?
Right.
Okay.
I mean, do you think we would have legalized medical marijuana in the state of Florida if
No, but I think it wouldn't be a class one on the federal scale, which says it has no medicinal use. Like, what are the feds doing? Let's go.
Right.
Right.
Well, it's like cancer patients have used it for a million years to help with the nausea that comes from chemotherapy. It's good for helping folks sleep. It's good for people with anxiety. And there's a whole list of criteria you have to meet in order to qualify for your medical marijuana card. But we are pro-cannabis, I think. I speak.
Yes.
We didn't give the disclaimer up top, but the opinions expressed on Surly Voices are those of Surly Feminists for the Revolution and not necessarily those of WMNF.
And you are listening to...
And you're listening to Surly Voices on WMNF. We're gonna be getting controversial and all in your business now. We've already kicked off with cannabis.
And I just want to say one other thing to close out our tobacco segment.
Yeah.
So people are always saying, you know, people are always whining, this whole woke business. And this is part of, like, what we're about to go into here. And that women and gay people and LGBTQ alphabet soup people, you know, and blacks, right?
The blacks.
Right? So you listen to Nicholas and Natasha this morning, a young Latin male and a young biracial African-American and white woman talk about some of the things that they've seen in their community. They are literally targeted for the sale of these harmful products.
Mm-hmm.
People of color, women, LGBTQ, IA plus community, literally vulnerable already, are targeted, y'all, for things that are bad. Not only are they on the margins of society and pushed out by things like bad representation in electoral politics, but
she
also,
says through clenched teeth.
Right. And disparity in healthcare and on and on and on. People are actually like, hey, let's go sell these products to those people over there, which was the point of having that on Surly Voices this morning. I'd like for you guys to think about that a little bit.
Awesome. Amina, can you hear us? I think we finally got you connected. Not yet, maybe. You're all set and ready to go. All I need you to do is talk. It looks like your mic's off, though. Yes, Donna.
This is the last text email. There's only one reason cannabis is illegal: money.
Yes.
William Randolph Hearst wanted to make his newspapers out of trees, primarily because the DuPont Company held the patents on chlorine bleach that needs to be used to turn trees into paper. While hemp does not require such toxic and caustic substances to be processed into paper, the prohibition on hemp and cannabis remains in place primarily due to lobbying from the alcohol, tobacco, and, shocker, pharmaceutical industries.
Oh, what a shock.
Charles in Tampa.
Thanks, Charles.
Thanks for closing that out
makes,
for us.
That loops us in with the hypercapitalism and why we can't have weed.
Why we are not smoking right now in the studio. That's why. Okay.
All right. So now I want to talk about, because this burns my butt hard. Before we start talking about the campaign, which also burns my butt hard, I want to talk about the Athletic Association trying to make mandatory questions of female students about their menstrual periods. Here's some of the things that they want to include and make mandatory on the forms that you have to fill out. When was your last menstrual period? When was your most recent menstrual period? How much time do you usually have from the start of one period to the start of another? How many periods have you had in the last year? What was the longest time between periods in the last year? Now, what in the world, Donna, why does DeSantis and his goons need to know when my daughter's last period was?
This is all feeding into one thing. I think if I look at the stuff that's going on in Florida right now as a lot of different things, it makes my mind spin out. When I look at it as one thing, then I have clarity. And then it actually infuses me with purpose as opposed to dispiriting and deflating me, right? So when I look at the things that are happening, that the woke agenda, the bashing of the woke, air quote, woke agenda, it tells me that people of color, women, the gays, right? The blacks, the binders of women have finally gotten out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're not in control. The liberals, right? So the libs, you know, own the libs. So that it's a movement to reassert the control of the cishet capitalist Caucasian patriarchy.
Yep.
Right? And so these guys are looking at the population of the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, we've got to get these people back under control. They've gotten a lot of highfalutin ideas about their value and their worth and their civil rights. And we need to disabuse them of this notion. Well, they tried that by teaching us that there were bathrooms on slave ships and things like that. and that being trans is mental illness. And now people we've rejected that categorically.
Right.
And so they're saying, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to make it illegal to say this at the state level. You can't talk about this. COVID is not real. We're reopening the state. You can't say gay in schools. Teaching gayness to children is corruption. There's no use for AP African American history. We need to know when your daughter's last period was. You can't participate in sports unless you can prove that you were born with a vagina. All of this is one thing. I mean, if you think that it's a lot of things, then you're confused about the essence of their agenda, which is to return to order as they perceive it.
Right. So they put in not only women. All right. Number one, yes. I see two purposes for this.
Okay.
Number one, to try to exclude trans people. Number two, and I think probably because the way the questions read, I mean, because if you were a trans person, you could just answer these questions and who's going to know?
Right.
Number two, to enforce the archaic anti-abortion laws.
Right.
They're getting young girls, because if you're in high school, you're 18, 19 at the most. Why do you need, sir, to know when my last period was? You don't, unless you're trafficking it. See what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, oh, wait, you missed one? Let's do a pregnancy test and then make sure that you can't go get an abortion if that's what you want.
Right. Like, nobody gave us permission to stop being oppressed.
Right.
Like, who the hell gave these people permission to stop being oppressed? Start teaching their true history, owning their bodies, making decisions about them without the prying eyes and hands and stirrups of the state.
Right.
Right.
The stirrups of the state.
That's a t-shirt, y'all.
That is. Yeah, I can see it in my head right now.
Right. Men, calm down. Here, this is not an inside joke. Okay, we have to tell the people what there are people out there who don't know what stirrups are because they've never been in them.
Okay. Let me give the number real quick so folks can call in and ask us questions, you know, that they might not ordinarily ask about periods. You can give us a call at 813-239-9663. You can email to dj@wmnf.org, or you can text to 813-433-0885. Because, I mean, there are a lot of misconceptions about how menstruation works, and it's shockingly, it's like there was a whole thing of memes about it where, you know, these guys would say these just bizarre things like, you know, can't you just, you know, go to the bathroom and get it all over with at once? No, it doesn't work that way. But there has been pushback, and they're supposed to be meeting on it today. One mom even started a petition called privacy.period on change.org. So it's like, I mean, how much more personal can you get than asking these kind of questions?
Well, you can start examining people.
It can
get more personal.
Yeah.
Right? It can get more personal. Asking to see what's under people's clothing. Let me, I don't want to seem like I'm all over the place or off topic this morning, but if you guys recall when a young man was thought to have been gang involved, when a young man is believed to be gang involved, they are asked to pull up their shirts by the police to see if they have gang tattoos. Right? So the ownership of body has something that's long been denied to people that are considered to be other.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a new thing. It's just we're shocked that it's coming back instead of going away. Right? Slaves on blocks having their teeth and their genitals
yes.
examined
yes.
to see if they're healthy and vigorous products. their teeth. There's a long history of white male interference with the ownership of bodies that are othered. I know y'all want to talk about that because it's hard
to
think about.
That's true, though.
And so it's just back. And it's not shocking to me that it's white men that are with money,
right,
and who own land that are bringing it back.
Man, do you think like this is the last gasp of the white male patriarchy?
No.
I don't either.
I don't. I think that they have concentrated purposefully resources in their population to the effect of total domination,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're talking about the Bezos, what's his name, Buffett. And although I know all white people aren't rich that way, you do understand that the vast majority of wealth is concentrated in a very homogenous population.
Yep.
Right. And then when we think about not white people, but whiteness, as you go around the world, you find people who've adopted this thinking, who've adopted whiteness,
right.
manifest destiny, economic domination, the servitude of the rest of the population. To that end, you find that many people around the world have adopted that way of thinking and basically have created a global serfdom.
And they've roped in the police to protect their plundered treasures.
I got one step further for you. Did they rope them in, or were they always there?
They were always there because that's how the police started, was as slave patrols.
Because I stopped reading Lear Keith and Derek Jensen. They are militant environmentalists, right? Which I think is the time for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I stopped reading them because they're transphobic, right?
Mm.
But I did get quite the education from, what is it, their book. I'm going to look it up because you guys need to know this. They talked about at the advent of the agrarian society, once there was a surplus of grains, there was a need to store them. And that the rise of militaries came as a consequence of needing to protect surplus. The police have always been a function of the apparatus that protects private property.
Huh. Imagine that.
Yes. Since the dawn of civilization. This
right.
is not just with the patty rollers and slavery. They've always been that. The Roman centurions.
Yes.
That's what they did. And the crown, the triumvirate gave them their daily bread, their salary, as it were, for protecting wealth from the people who were not having it distributed to them equitably.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another check on Amina. If you can hear us, holler.
Yeah.
Because everything is working properly. I have done every single thing. And if she's not hollering back, then I guess she's not there.
Holler back, girl.
Holler back. All right. So if you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 813-239-9663. You can email us to dj@wmnf.org, or you can text to 813-433-0885. You know who we haven't heard from in a while? Simon.
I was just thinking when you said that. Well, I wasn't thinking it before you said it. After you said it, yeah, we haven't. I wonder where Simon is. Simon,
call us, Simon, because we've hit on so many topics that you could brush on today. It's not even funny.
Yeah, we're waiting on you to come in here and blow up the spot, sir. Now, thank you, ladies. Great Shirley Surly show today. Kindly, Robert H. DeMarco. I hope I'm not scared I read this. DeMarco sent us this meme on abortion. I do not believe that just because you're opposed to abortion, that makes you pro-life. In fact, I think in many cases, your morality is deeply lacking if all you want is a child born, but not a child fed.
Right.
Not a child educated, not a child housed. And why would I think that you don't? Because you don't want any tax money to go there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not pro-life. That's pro-birth.
Exactly.
We need a much broader conversation on what the morality of pro-life is. I remember this one. Sister Joan Chittister. C-H-I-T-T-I-S-T-E-R, y'all. If you want to look that up.
Yeah. That's an interesting name. Yeah. Well, David, our surly listener, David, sent us over the weekend on the Surly Voices page. He sent us the first installment of the Tampa Bay Times endorsement for municipal elections. And it covered the at-large seats.
Mm-hmm. come on through. Let's let the church say amen. Let's do it.
It's a huge shocker who one of the endorsees was. But I thank David very much for sending this to us because it's quite enlightening. So once I looked at that one, I had to go look at the other ones too when they came out later in the week. I refuse to subscribe to the Tampa Bay Times because it's fish wrapping in my opinion, but that's solely my opinion. One of the people that they endorsed, of course, was Janet Cruz. And it was like, I mean, they were standing on her so hard that it was like she wrote it herself. It was like, oh, she's got all this great experience and she's a bridge builder and blah, blah, blah. And don't worry because her daughter-in-law, I'm paraphrasing. Don't worry because her daughter-in-law is the mayor. The voters can hold her accountable. How? How? Once you put her in there, how are you going to get her out?
Because we've been so successful in Florida at holding
right.
our elected officials
yeah,
accountable.
Yeah, we don't hold anybody accountable here. It's a wild west, man. If you can get the votes, there you are. So, yeah, there's no accountability to be had once you have let the fox into the chicken house. That's all there is to it. And so that was one of the endorsements. Also, they did not endorse Joe Citro, which was very surprising to me because as hard as he capes for the mayor, you would think she could have gotten him some juice on the endorsement thing.
Now, hadn't he had a little bit of, you know, freshly fried scandal?
Who doesn't have freshly fried scandal?
Right. Yeah.
And so, but he's like, he has been rolling hard for the mayor. And so if I were him, I would feel very betrayed. The Tampa Bay Times said Clinton is who they're going to be endorsing. And also, oh, another shocker. I do believe they endorsed Charlie Miranda, who's only been here for 1,000 years and is like 82 years old. And I got nothing against 82-year-olds. My dad's up in that age range. But my dad will be the first person to tell you he doesn't even want to be the homeowner association president anymore because it's just too much hassle. And so why not get some fresh blood up in here, you know? And it's like, yeah, you're term limited, but then you can change districts, and then I guess your time starts all over again. And so I promised y'all after that first time that we would look and see where the money's coming from in the various things. And we just had a rollover with the with the reporting. Some people have not reported, and I asked the question, why, Donna? Why have some people not reported?
Reported what?
Their campaign finance stuff.
Okay, so you mean to the SOS?
Yes.
I don't.
Or to the director of elections, supervisor of elections.
So yesterday, Josh Holton sent me a link to Garcia's post on the net worth of all of the current city council candidates.
Oh, yes. That was interesting, too.
Yeah.
I'm wondering to myself how certain people have so much money having been, quote unquote, public servants their entire lives.
Specifically, the millions of dollars that Jane Castor is sitting on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to know who her wealth management people
yeah,
are.
Yeah, really. I need to know that, too, because, yeah, at this rate, I'm working till I drop dead. But
I'm doing everything wrong, according to those numbers. Right. Right, because, if you make more than the stated income of a mayor and a police chief, but you don't have $2 million in the bank, I feel it deflated my self-esteem.
Well, I was just scratching my head. It's like, dang, how?
It's like, I don't know. My life has been a lie. I don't know. How did I get here? $200,000 line of credit, $2 million in the bank.
Right.
And you're not even hitting the 200 mark.
And she's not that old. She's like, what, 40?
No.
Oh.
No, she's about 60, 61, 62.
Is she really? Then yes. How old is Janet Cruz? Dang.
Last time I was in a meeting with her, she said it.
Oh, okay. So how old is Janet Cruz? Do we know that?
Probably right behind her.
Her mother.
Right?
Yeah, her mother-in-law.
Janet Cruz? Oh, she's got to be at least 172.
I don't think she's quite that old.
You know, good health care and lots of money preserves you. Even if you don't look like it because you got a bad injector.
Oh, so. Yeah. Oh, and then in the second group of endorsements that came out, the shocker there was that they didn't endorse the Hamburglar. What's his name?
Carlson? Not Carlson.
Caster. They did not.
Casper.
No, Casper. Yeah, Casper.
We're not smoking weed in here, y'all.
No.
We're not.
Sometimes I wish we would.
It would be easier.
No, it would be edibles. No, it would not be smoky.
Yeah.
Because vaping and inhaling is less safe. But anyway, they did not endorse. They picked Carlson, which was a shock because he's, as we've discussed before, one of the three in the quote-unquote trouble to the mayor faction. And we've discussed that on the last couple of shows.
But, you know, Carlson has done a lot of organizing. He's been very careful not to piss off the various factions, you know, here in the Seven Kingdoms.
Seven Kingdoms.
The Game of Thrones. The Tampa edition.
But, yeah, I mean, and... it's very well known that Casper is a Republican and funds DeSantis and all that machine. There's also well-known Republicans who fund Janet Cruz. And I was not aware of a certain individual's political persuasion until I saw it the other day. A very influential attorney in Tampa has donated some nice coin to Janet Cruz's campaign, but he is a Republican and has also supported DeSantis. But yeah, all this information is available on the Hillsborough County Supervisor of Elections website. You can look and see who's putting money in, who's taking money out. How do you become a protected voter, Donna? Do you know that? Because I want to be one.
What do you mean by protected voter?
Well, you look and see who makes the donations, and some people have protected voter on behind their name.
Okay, so if you are in the voter file and there is some security risk at having your information made public, right, then certain aspects of your registration are protected in the voter file. Hmm. Not in all states, though.
How do we get that? Do you have to apply for it?
I think it would be a sunshine request, but I don't think they would give it to you for the reasons that that's blocked out in the first place.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, you guys call me and set me on the right path.
No, but I mean, it's like if I want to be a protected voter, do you apply for that?
I think that you do have to demonstrate what the risk would be, you know.
Okay. Let's talk to Clay in Land O'Lakes. Hi, Clay.
Greetings, ladies. You're having too much fun today.
I know. We're not even smoking. Just the tobacco free kids came and told us not to.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I know you've had her on. She's been on a number of shows, and I don't really remember her last name. I think it's Lynn, the woman that was appointed to the seat that Janet Cruz is now trying to...
Hertak.
Hertak, yeah. We haven't had her on, but I think some of our other shows have had her on.
She is brilliant. She's a breath of fresh air. She is so much better than Janet Cruz could ever be.
Yeah.
I mean...
Plus, she's not related to the mayor.
Right, well... That's true too. But Janet Cruz is an old time politician who's done things that are bad for us, especially in voting in the legislature for preemption of certain things that we do, from everything from our tree ordinance to everything else. This young woman was just a breath of fresh air. I wish I'm no longer live in Tampa. I'm a native Tampian, but I live in Pasco County now. But she's certainly the person that I would want representing me, as opposed to Janet Cruz.
Well, I was talking about this on another show. It's like, I don't vote for people who are going to fall in lockstep with the mayor. I vote for people who are going to look out for the interests of me and the people I care about.
That's what they're supposed to be doing. That's
right. So because you did your job, now you're getting Nepo Mom come to run against you. So,
well. And then one other thing I wanted to point out was this idea about the vaping stuff being tobacco. It's not tobacco. It's actually the extract from tobacco of nicotine. It's a controlled substance suspended in an oil that allows you to take in the nicotine. And that's one of the problems with it, is the manipulative nature of how much nicotine they can put in it. Because nicotine is the most addictive substance on earth.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, I know. It's like we had in the infamous trip to New Orleans. Now, I haven't smoked since like 20, 25 years, you know. And so, you know, when you're imbibing alcohol at a moderate rate, you kind of, if one of your friends is smoking, then it's like, hey, let me have one of those. Oh, my God, I almost died for real because it was like.
Well, I've been able to resist that, but you know, I was an anti-smoker as I grew up throughout my teenage years. I didn't start smoking until I got out of high school, and that's because I was going to bars. I didn't like kissing a girl that tasted like an ashtray.
So oh, yeah.
Think that was to smoke a cigarette, which
right.
is the stupidest reason in the world to start. So I smoked from 18 till 27. At 27, I saw this display at the library from the National Lung Association, and I took a brand new carton of cigarettes out of my truck. When I got out of the library, put it on the ground and stomped on it.
Oh, wow.
I'm done. I never smoked a cigarette since.
Let me ask you this, Clay. Do you have you have girls, don't you?
I don't have any children, but I have five sisters.
Sisters. Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up with five sisters. So, and that also is something that drives me nuts. I don't understand what it has to do with athletics. They need to know when a woman is having her period. What does that got to do?
Well, yeah, it's because they want to monitor and make sure that if you're pregnant, you're going to be incubating for the state, or that if you're trans, you're not playing any kind of sport.
I don't know. It's really sad what our state has come to, because, you know, I'm a native Floridian. I've lived here my entire life, and I am so embarrassed by what goes on in our state. And I'm embarrassed by people who choose not to vote because... someone didn't tell them something the right way. You know, voting is a responsibility. You got to go out there and vote. And then this last election, he didn't win by a landslide because people voted for him. He won by a landslide because Democrats and independents said you go out and vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So,
all right. Well, thank you for calling.
Well, peace be upon you. Stay healthy and keep up the great work.
Thanks, Clay.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. All right. So... we're running up on the clock here, Donna. So
I have one thing to add.
Yes.
I did check out the website. I am a supporter of Lynn Hertak. I support her candidacy. I support her.
Mm-hmm.
I think she is what we need. She's a good dose of that. I do not believe she will win. I think that she's outnumbered, outmoneyed, and she has chosen a team of very young and green white males, as is the custom around here, to run her campaign, which I think is a rookie mistake, and it's going to cost us all.
Well, And full disclosure, I have donated to her campaign. It just irks me the I don't want to say hubris or just the sense of entitlement that Cruz has as far as, you know, pushing competent people out of the way. And it's not the first time it's happened. I'm appalled by that. And I hope you're wrong, Donna, but we shall see.
Well, so, once she's purchased the votes of the black church and the black community and all the usual suspects are on board and things are going to spec here.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us and stay tuned for NPR. Live.